I opened the latch, slipped out the gate, and ran. I thought it would be easy. I would run straight to the shed behind Bellingham's house, tap on Corzine's window, tell him the news, and hurry home. It was nighttime after all, and folks would be asleep. Not in New York. Not in a city occupied by the Continental Army. At the end of the block, there were soldiers on watch in front of City Hall, a dozen or so men standing around a campfire with more dozing on the ground. One man was trying to read a letter by the firelight. Another was roasting a small piece of meat at the end of a stick. Their guns were close to hand. I crept as close as I dared, but there was no way to sneak past them. I swallowed hard and turned around to head east, away from the firelight. The next corner was dark and lonesome. I turned south, then west again, then was forced north for three blocks by loud soldiers spilling out of taverns. The crowded buildings confuddled me. I tried to be brave like Mama or Queen Esther in the Bible, but I just knew there were hobgoblins walking in the dark, looking to steal the breath from a girl's body. I hid when I heard voices and when a horseman galloped down the middle of the street. The horse's hooves sparked off the cobblestones and sounded like a hammer striking a forge. I chased up and down streets and alleys, sticking to the shadows and shying away from the flickering street lamps. I ran. Finally, the street emptied out onto a wharf. I had reached one of the two rivers that sheltered New York Island, but I couldn't tell if I was looking at the East River or the North. I ventured out farther into the street. Relaxed men told loud jokes to each other on the waterfront. A tin whistle played and a small dog yipped. The mast of ships grew thicker to my right. That was my heading. The shapes of the buildings and the outline of the wharf soon became familiar. There was the dock the Hartshorn had tied to, and there was Bellingham's building. I snuck down the alley to the shed window that Corzine described. This was the end of my quest. I took a deep breath, said a prayer, and rapped on the glass. Nothing happened. I started to rap again, then stopped. What if this is the wrong window, the wrong house? What if the person within thinks me a thief in the night or a murderess? What if... Country? A puzzled voice called to me from the shadows of the back end of a tavern, a few buildings down. Every window in the tavern was lit up, and the air loud with the angry shouts of men deep in argument. "Are you speaking to me?" I said, trying to keep my voice from shaking. "What are you doing here?" Corzine stepped out of the shadows and motioned for me to join him. I dashed toward him, keeping to the edge of the tavern candlelight. "I have news. Of Lockton? And more." I quickly told him everything I had seen and heard. "Is the money still there?" he finally asked. "A portion," I said. "The gentleman took some with them, but Lockton placed the rest back in the chest." Then I was sent to fetch more wine. The chest was gone by my return. He nodded gravely. "Will this be enough to send us home?" I asked. "Can they get us on the ship tomorrow? I can have Ruth at the docks by sunup." He raised both of his hands. "Go home and sleep. I'll take your news to Master Bellingham. I expect the committee will visit Lockton tomorrow. Whatever you do, don't let on that you were the informant." "Why not?" I asked. "How else can I claim what's mine?" "The colonel will know who you are and how to find you. Until you hear from him, you're just the new Lockton girl." "But not for long," I said, trying to sound braver than I felt. "Not for long," he agreed. "Go home now." I hesitated. "I don't know how. I got lost coming here." He chuckled softly. "It's easy enough once you know the way." He gave me the directions. "Thank you," I said, picking up my skirts. "Thank you for everything. Go quick." When I was halfway up the alley, he called after me. "Hold there, country." "What?" "Well done."